Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Torino Film Fest, the 32nd edition, and today I have the honor of being with Eddie Redmayne, who's here for The Theory of Everything by James Marsh. So welcome, Eddie. Thank
Thanks
you for being with
me.
Us.
That's a treat for me.
So how are you? I heard that you came here yesterday, so I don't think you have
time to see
Torino.
It's been such a fleeting visit. We're busy promoting the film sort of around the world at the moment, so it's been but no, it's hilarious. I have some very lovely supporters and some fans in Italy, and they quite often come to England, and last time they came to England it was at Christmas time, and I bumped into them and they gave me a present, and the present was a Turin guidebook around it. Wow. Since they're from Turin,
so I
have the guidebook, but unfortunately I don't think I'm going to have time to get stuck in properly.
So, but how was the press conference? How are they treating you?
Good. I mean, so lovely. I love this country, to be honest. I fell in love with Italy when I was about 9 or 10, and so for me to be able to come here for work is like a great treat. But the conference was good. They're always odd. They feel weird, press conferences, and also it's odd being translated. You know, it's weird. I like understand a small bit of Italian, so it's sort of frustrating when you feel like you can't communicate properly. But
yeah, I understand. Yeah, the same problem when I don't know the language. So let's talk about The Theory of Everything and this very important role that you accomplished. So I was curious, have you read or had you read Traveling Infinity, My Love with Stephen?
Had I read it before?
Yes.
I had not read it before I got cast, and I did read it whilst prepping for the film. And I found it, you know, as I found the script, it was kind of, we all have a sense of the icon of, you know, we think we know Stephen and we know his voice and we're familiar with his work into Black Holes. But what this was an extraordinary story of a complicated relationship and a passionate relationship. And I found everything about it, it subverted the notion of a biopic for me, and it really intrigued me.
Yes, it's a biopic, but it's also, let's say, a love story.
Sorry, I think so. Yeah, but not a classic love story either. It's a complicated one.
One, as in real life. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How did you get involved in the film project? Did you audition for the role?
I read the script and then I chased it. I sort of called. The producers had produced Les Miserables, and I was allowed to have a phone call with James Marsh, the director, who lived in Copenhagen, and we had a chat. And he then came to London, and I remember we went to the pub, and it was about like 2 in the afternoon, and he was like, "What do you want to drink?" And I was like, "Do I go alcohol or not?" Like, so I said, "I'll have a beer," and he went, "Okay, Eddie, you'll have a beer. I'll have a coffee," and I was like, "Oh God!" So he basically ended up having like 5 coffees, 6 coffees, got very high on caffeine. I had about 6 pints of beer, and so I got quite drunk.
A different level of...
And somewhere along the way, we admitted our deepest fears, and sweetly, he offered me the job. So.
Wow, well, that's an interesting way of getting
auditioning, exactly.
So let's talk about the inevitable question. How did you work on preparing this role then? Because first, I imagine that since the film was not shot chronologically, you had to switch back and forth on the different stages of the development of the his disease. Plus, I read, I don't know if I'm wrong, that you only met Stephen Hawking once.
Yeah, so basically, as soon as I was cast, I started trying to educate myself on the science in order to be able to like pretend I knew what I was talking about when it came to the intricacies of Black hole theory. This is from someone who gave up science when they were a child. So. But then it was about the disease. And I went to an ALS clinic in London and met a specialist there who also introduced me to people suffering from the disease, and really tried to like learn about not just the specifics of the physicality and the physical decline, but also the emotional cost of the disease. And I then worked with a dancer, a woman called Alex Reynolds, who helped sort of find that physicality in me, and what was important as part of that rehearsal process was learning to be able to access those different physicalities quite quickly, because as you said, we weren't shooting chronologically, so you had to be able to sort of jump in and out of various different physicalities, but then the last aspect of it was meeting Steve, and that happened just 5 days before we started filming, and it was intimidating, but it was also amazing. And he is just so funny and has this incredible wit. And actually, those ended up being the great great last qualities to add to the equation, really, because that's what I tried to add in each scene, to find the humor and find the passion.
Yeah, well, in my mind, what I found the most difficult part of your work and the physical work you did, it was the part where you couldn't move anymore. I don't know, in my mind, ideally, because you had to communicate with your face and the movement of the eyes. So for me, I thought I could never do that. I mean, it's very difficult.
Thank you. But it was, you know, that part of it was, that was literally having an iPad with all of the documentary material on it. And me sitting in front of the mirror, making sure no one else was around, and trying to learn to isolate and use muscles that we don't normally use, because it's like he channels all of his energies into those muscles that he can use, and it's why he's so charismatic, even though he can move so little.
He sort of endorsed the project. I heard that he gave you permission to use his voice, which has copyright on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it
and
was wonderful.
Is that true that he gave you his signed thesis? And because I read it somewhere, signed.
Yes, his thesis. Yeah, yes? It's absolutely true. He gave us his thesis and with his signature. And he also, at the last scene of the film, Stephen gets a Companion of Honor from the Queen, a medal. and I actually got to wear his medal. So that was quite an amazing moment as well. But it just meant the world that he was supportive and that Jane was supportive and Jonathan and the children. You know, we really... They were so kind and generous, but with that came, for Felicity and I, that sort of amped up the responsibility. We didn't want to let them down.
And from Toronto, we're all starting to think, and they're all starting to talk about a possible Oscar nomination. What do you think about it?
Oh, God, you know what? You can't listen to those things. Don't listen to those things. It's where madness lies. I really try not to listen. As I said, Stephen and Jane seeing the film and enjoying it was for Felicity and I a great reward. And any other good chatter and buzz, of course, it's so flattering. And I hope it... I hope it encourages people to go and see the film, but no, I try not to listen, because otherwise I think you have to listen. If you listen to the good things, you have to listen to the bad things.
Yeah. But you're traveling so much with the film, so I guess you're doing a lot of experiences such as this one.
Yeah.
So talking to people, doing Q&As, and what was the question that the people asked, or the things they noticed that hit you the most? Like, oh, I haven't thought about it. I'm glad you thought about this thing.
Do you know what? It sounds like a simple question, but it's one that, when it was asked the first time, you know, do you think there is a theory of everything? And I couldn't believe that I hadn't asked myself that question, but I found it intriguing that, and this idea that, you know, I was saying just before in the press conference that I see, like, the theory of everything sort of represents like a perfection, like this answer, and I feel like we're all on this planet trying to find answer or solution or perfection, but it's learning to enjoy the workings, it's learning to enjoy the process, the journey of trying to discover that thing, with the acknowledgement of the fact that you will never find it, probably. You know, that is what that's what living is. So that's been interesting.
I have to say that the film also gave me a positive message, that some hope, when he says that, you know, we're all different, but we all have something that we can succeed.
See that? I agree. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. I find more and more with Stephen that in very few words he can just really evoke so much. He joined Facebook recently, and the first comment he put, the last sentence was just two words, and it was "be curious." And I just thought that was—it's so simple, and yet in our lives we can get so caught up with our everyday that the idea of curiosity can, you know. Yeah. And so I thought, yeah, he has an amazing
use
of language.
That might be the secret.
Yeah, maybe that's the secret, exactly.
Cool. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us. It was an honor, and good luck for the film.
Thank you.
And I hope you can enjoy at least this day in Turin.
I'm enjoying seeing Turin, even if it's from a car. It's so beautiful. Thank you.
And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 32nd edition of Torino Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.